What's wrong, preacher? You don't realize that you're in the arms of God? I sure do. I just need a reminder from time to time. Amen. Who's in control in all this mess? I'm glad that I'm sheltered in the arms of Him that's in total control. Amen. 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 Navigating the journey. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today about something that's very near to my heart. We've been talking about what saith the Scriptures. And we found our way to Matthew chapter 11, and we talked about learning of Jesus. We just want to learn all kinds about Jesus. Just do it the way Jesus would do it. Amen? The way He's done it, the way He would do it, and the way He would have us to do it. And so what I'm going to attempt to do today, my text is in verse number 13 about being the salt of the earth. But what I'd like to do is, with God's help, when you look at that first word, ye, I want to elaborate a little bit on that and see what type of a person ye is. And so we find in this section of Scripture that Jesus called His disciples in verse number 1 unto Him, and He opened His mouth and He taught them and He began to teach them what we know as the Beatitudes. Now, someone has said about the Beatitudes, just simplified, it's the attitudes that should be. That's about the best description I've heard of the Beatitudes. But He moves from the Beatitudes in verses 1 through 12 into similitude. In other words, this is what you're to be like. You're to be like the salt. You're to be like light. And so He goes from character to conduct. And I just want to kind of just highlight the Beatitudes. I have preached through the Beatitudes here at the church, so I'm not going to go in depth there. I just want to just remind you of what God would help us to be. And so let's just try to do that first, and then I want to get into verse number 13 and talk to you about the importance of a Christian. You're important. So, well, I'm not important. Oh, yes, you are. Who told you you're not important? Whoever told you that doesn't understand the importance of a Christian. We're important. Now, God has a duty for us. And I want to talk to you about three just simple truths, okay? The worth of salt, the work of salt, and then the warning that is issued for the salt that loses its savor or saltiness. So there's just three little simple words, the worth. See, the devil and the world doesn't realize and doesn't care about your worth. God does. God does. And I want you to. I want you to understand how important you are. You're important to me. We're important to this community. But more importantly, we're important to God. We have a worth. And God says that your worth is measured in what you are. You're the salt of the earth. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. See, today, before I get into these Beatitudes, today salt is plentiful. I have learned a lot about salt in the last couple few weeks. Salt today is plentiful, readily available, probably sitting on every tabletop of every home that's represented here today. You probably couldn't go to a restaurant in the community where there's not salt, just available, readily available. But in the day when Jesus spoke, salt, well, was not as available. It was a high commodity, a needful. As a matter of fact, here in verses 13 through 16, He spoke of two very needful things in every home and every life, salt and light. We really don't understand how important things are until we have to do without it. So I don't need light. Well, you know, it wasn't long ago we had people screaming how they wish their lights would come back on. So we take for granted some things. And that's what I want to help us to do, is kind of refocus on not taking this light that God has given us for granted. You are a worthy person. You say, I'm not either. Well, listen, in God's eye, you are. You have great value. Now, before He told them how worthy they were, He told them how worthy they should realize they were not. Look, if you would, in verse number 3, I'm sorry. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, now, what does that mean? That means that you need to understand that in yourself dwelleth a good thing. You don't have what it takes in verse number 5 to get to the kingdom of heaven. You've got to understand that you cannot get there on your own. You have to be spiritually bankrupt. You can't bring anything to God and say, God, here's what I have to offer, so I deserve to go to heaven. Jesus said, no, blessed is the man that realizes that nothing you have makes you fit for heaven. Amen. It's something that is given to you by God above that makes us fit for heaven. Amen. Then he said, verse number 4, blessed are they that mourn. Now, I believe this is twofold. Number one, you mourn your own condition. You mourn your own sinfulness. You mourn the way you are under the curse of sin. But not only the way you are and the way that you mourn for your sin, but you look around you and you see the condition of this sin-cursed world. And you mourn the fact that man has fallen and depraved and in sin and in darkness. And it hurts your heart to know that man is in that condition. And you feel helpless to do anything about it. And you mourn your condition and the condition of those around you. He said, blessed is that man that mourns, because he shall be comforted. God has something to give you. God has something he wants to do in your life to help you with that condition. Then he said in verse number 5, blessed are the meek. Now, meek is not weak. Meek is actually power under control. If you remember in Matthew 11, Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus, the meek one, power under control. And he said, blessed are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And can I tell you, one day Jesus is going to come and set up his kingdom upon this earth, and the meek are going to literally inherit the earth and the kingdom. Then he said in verse 6, and again, I'm highlighting these. He said, you want to be blessed, you want to be happy, you want to be fulfilled, you want to be useful, you want to have purpose, then this is where you have to get. Now the world, someone has said, I believe it was A.W. Tozer, he said, you can turn these Beatitudes inside out, and that's what the world has. But when you look at them at face value, the way Jesus presented them as Christians, this is where we stand. And so he said in verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You just have a hunger and thirst to see things the right way, God's way. You want to do it the right way. I believe I speak to a group of people, and I mean this with all of my heart, that there's a part of you, listen, if you're saved, there's not a saved individual, not only in this place, but in all the earth, that really deep down inside wants to do the right thing. See, God makes us that way. Amen. The Spirit of God makes us want to do the right thing. Now, whether we do it or not, he won't make us do it, but he makes us want to do it. He makes us desire to do it. He put a hungering and a thirst in our soul to do what is right. God knows I want to do what's right. I want to be right with God. I want to do right by my fellow man. I want to do right by heaven. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then verse 7, he said, blessed are the merciful. We live in such a world that has no mercy, that's just ready to go out and exact vengeance and hatred and violence. And he said, blessed are the merciful, those that realize if it were not for the mercy of God that I could be in their place. And God, help me to be a merciful person. Help me to try to help instead of exact their judgment, but to meet their need through Jesus Christ. He said in verse number 8, he said, blessed are the pure in heart. That person who has not only wants to do right, I think this literally goes back and piggybacks on verse number 6, where he said, hunger and thirst after righteousness is their desire. He said, but their motive is even pure. You see that? They not just want to do right, they want to do right for the right purpose and the right person. They want to do right because it is right, but they want to do right because it's right by God. God demands perfection. You say, I can never be perfect. Well, you keep working on it. Let me keep working on it, amen. God, help me never to get comfortable with sin. I don't want to be okay with evil. And so he said in verse number 8, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The right motive, you see. It's not just what we do, it's why we do what we do. The pure in heart. And again, I'm just skimming over these. Verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers. We live in a world of peace breakers. We live in a world of troublemakers. But he said, blessed are the peacemakers. In other words, not only do they make their peace with God, but they want others to make peace with God, and they want to make peace with others. They're peacemakers, not peace breakers. We live in a society that is just bent on contention. They think the next thrill is who they can get into a verbal war with. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to bring people and introduce them into the Prince of Peace himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, so they have peace in their heart. He said, verse number 10, he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, he didn't say persecuted for breaking the law. If you break the law, you need to pay the price. He didn't say persecuted for living an evil lifestyle. He said they're persecuted for righteousness' sake because you're wanting to do the right thing, and there's an evil world out there. There's a world system. There's a world of darkness that doesn't want the light. Men love darkness rather than light. And he said, blessed are those individuals that they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If I'm going to be persecuted, I don't want it to be because of some ill that I've done. I want it to be because I've tried to do right by the Word of God. Amen. And I believe you're the same way. God knows every Christian ought to be, whether we are or not. He said in verse number 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Say, preacher, I'm afraid to live for Jesus. They'll call me a fanatic. Well, they're going to call you something anyway. I'm afraid to go all in for God, preacher. If I go all in for God, they'll mock me. They'll scorn me. They'll make light of me. Where they're going to, listen, they're going to find something wrong with you anyway. Let them find it falsely for Christ's sake, for his name's sake. Amen. 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 Stand up. Amen. Stand up for Jesus. Amen. Amen. So he said here, he said, there's reward in verse number 12. He said, you can rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And so here the Lord Jesus laid groundwork, and he said, listen, you want to be happy. That's what that word blessed means. Listen, it means to be happy, to be fulfilled, to know purpose. He said, if you want to go through this life with those elements in your life, then you must follow this prescription. He said, this is where it's at. And then he said in verse number 13, ye. And so don't take this ye as just being somebody who went to church every now and then. Who visited a synagogue from time to time. That's not who Jesus is saying is the salt of the earth. Ye who understand these principles that I've laid out before you. Ye who understand these beatitudes are to be effective and operative in your life. Right? Ye. It's you that understands that with God's power and God's help, listen, there's no telling what God can do through you. But you have to do it God's way. You have to follow God's word. You have to follow God's prescription. So, preacher, I'm going to fly solo. Listen, you'll crash solo. Preacher, I'm going to go out and venture out on my own. I'm going to do it my way. Listen, the world has been singing, I've done it my way, since way on back there, and it hasn't worked yet. God, help me to understand that if I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it with some validity and I'm going to do it to make an impact, I'm going to have to do it God's way, amen. God's way. That's the way we need to do it. And so he said, ye. Now here Jesus makes a great divide, and I want you to see the great divide that our Lord Jesus makes. He says in verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Now he's not talking about the soil and the trees and the foliage and the villages. He's talking about the human element of the earth. For God so loved the world. They're not talking about the planets and the waters and the trees. Listen, he made them. But that's not what John 3:16 is saying. John 3:16 means, for God so loved the world, the human beings of the world. Jesus is saying here, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of those that are without me. Ye are the salt of those who don't understand these principles and have not employed these principles in their life. Ye, and so he makes a division, he makes a divide, he makes it very clear here. Ye believers, ye who have received this teaching, ye are the salt of them who have not received this teaching. And so he said, be very careful. Though you've walked with me, that's 12. Though there's those around you that believe like you, and sometimes we can come into a community like this, into a body of believers like this, and we say, you know what? A lot of people believe like we do. Don't kid yourself. But now ye are the salt of the earth. We're to meet here and we're to worship and we're to get our instructions and we're to yield ourselves afresh to the Holy Spirit of God, and then we're to go out into a world that understands nothing about what this book teaches, and we're to carry them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and tell them you too can be a part of the salt of the earth. Amen. Jesus loves you and he wants to employ you. He wants to do work in your life. So let's look at this thing about salt. Number one, the worth. By the way, I tell you, I've learned so much about salt. I don't even salt my food, but I think I'm going to start after these last 2 weeks. You know, if you're not careful, you listen to the world, and the world will tell you salt's bad for you. But we have some folks in our congregation today that know a little bit about medicine and science, and they don't know more than what Jesus knows. Jesus said salt's a good thing. I just found a few things that I found in my research, just a few things. Salt, did you know salt is absolutely necessary to body hydration? It takes sodium and potassium and works them together. It's good for vascular health. Now listen, I'm not saying too much. I'm saying salt is necessary. Do the research. We have a nurse in the house. Am I right, Sister Tammy? Do the research. I researched it because I want to preach the truth. And I want to know why Jesus said you're the salt of the earth and he didn't name some other mineral. I want to know. Salt has many, many functions, and I'm only going to name just a few because of sake of time, but I'm telling you right now, I would highly encourage you to go home and just look at salt. Salt is made up of two deadly poisons, sodium and chloride. But when you put them together, it's tasty. Amen. We sprinkle it on stuff. I'm serious. You're talking about a miracle. Salt is a miracle. It's a miracle. And when Jesus said you're salt, I'm not even so sure that he wasn't talking about literally you're full of poison, dead, dangerous. But when I got involved, now you're helpful and peaceful and needful and purposeful. Amen. See, Jesus can do that in a life. Amen. Jesus can take things that are poisonous and that are things that people want to stay away from and that are dangerous, and he can do something in their lives and bring them together and make them a joy and make them something that is flavorable and make something that is healing and something that's helpful. Amen. Jesus can do that, you see. Amen. Jesus can do that. Salt helps balance the electrolytes in the human system to prevent muscle cramps, supports healthy nervous systems. It even improves sleep. So I'm definitely going to start using a little more. And I'm not joking. I'm serious. I could have read on and on, brethren. But no, I want you to go do your own research. Jesus said, you're the salt of the world. Let's talk about the worth of salt. You know, I'm convinced that the devil has got a lot of Christian brothers and sisters, just like some sitting in this building today. And he's made you think that you're not important. You don't matter. No one needs you. Fellowship Baptist Church could do without you. Your community doesn't need you. You're worthless. That's a lie of hell.
Amen.
I'm so glad when God looked down and saw me, he said, my son needs to die for him.
Amen.
In eternity past, God saw me and he sent his son to die for Amen. My sin. Amen. Not because I'm good, but because God's good.
Amen.
And God saw me as a worth and a value. Amen. And God said, there's something in him that I can bring out and make something out of.
Amen.
Brethren, that's where it's at. Amen.
Amen.
And don't you ever let the devil tell you you have no worth. Don't you ever let him tell you that. And God help me never to discourage a man or a woman or a family to believe in that they don't have something that God can use.
Right.
And if I've ever done it, God forgive me.
Right.
Brethren, this world needs us. And God needs us in this world, or else he would have saved us, took us on to heaven,
right.
But he left us here
right.
for a purpose.
Right.
He said, I want you here to be salt because there's a worth in you. And if you'll employ these teachings of the Beatitudes and my word in your life, he said, when you walk in, you'll make a difference in the room that you walk into. People ought to so respect your life and so respect my life when they're used in foul language and we walk in the room as a child of God, they'll have such a deep reverence for the God we serve that they'll zip it up. Change their language. It ought to affect their behavior. You say, oh, preacher, I don't believe in that. Try it. You live for Jesus and see if it doesn't make a difference, my brother.
Amen.
You live for God and see if God will make a difference in your life and the lives of those in whose He has put you in the pathway of their life.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that Christians bring something in a sanctifying way. You know, salt does that. Salt prevents the spread of corruption and decay. Salt, before refrigeration, was used as a preservative. It was used as an agent to preserve and to keep meats and other things. I believe the disciples used it. They were great fishermen, many of them. We know James, John, Peter, and Andrew were. They had a family business. And I believe they were very accustomed to what Jesus was saying here when he talked about the usage of salt and worth of salt. And he said, listen, it's important. It's important. One man of old said it's divine. Plato said this, it's the substance dear to the gods. There were tribal people years ago who counted a bag of salt more worth than a man of work. Salt used to be traded for gold. Salt. Something very simple that we don't see that way today. We don't see it that way. As a matter of fact, I found out something about salt. When you get paid this coming week, and I hope you do, when you get paid this upcoming week, I want you to realize that that salary has nothing to do with money. The word salary comes from salt. Look it up. Do the research. The Ethiopians, the Tibetans, in Tibet, they used salt cakes to pay their employees. Even in the days of Rome, when our Lord Jesus was walking the face of this earth, Roman soldiers were paid in salt cakes and other avenues of money. Why? Because salt was a precious commodity. You can find in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse number 13 where God told Moses, he said, I want every offering. Now listen to me, Leviticus 2:13, write it down. Go home, look it up. He said, I want every offering to have salt on it. Salt. Every offering. In the book of Ezra in chapter 5, 6, and 7, the king took out his treasuries, many things that he said, I want you to use, Ezra, in rebuilding the temple. He said, I want to use it. And one of the things that he took out of his treasury that he said, I want it to be without limit. Look at it. Ezra chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, he said, salt. Come out of the king's treasury, brethren. The king's treasury. Oh, I realize today when we speak of salt, it's on every grocery store shelf. It's in every restaurant. It's in every home. It's used regularly and without proportion. But I want to tell you, there was a day when it was not that way. But it's still just as precious. We've just lost sight of how precious it really is. But our Savior said, I want you to know, Christian, listen to me, born again child of God. You're the salt of the earth. You are. You say, now, preacher, you are. Well, thank God, yes, I am, but you are too. Amen. Well, preacher, I know this individual, and they've really helped me. They're the salt of the earth. What if you saved the salt of the earth? Amen. Yes. Salt. It has a sanctifying, it has a purifying effect to it. But it also has a saving effect. It preserves. As I said, in the days before refrigeration and ice, it was used to preserve and to keep things, in particular meats. Salt. I think about when old Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Many times we think of his wife who left and turned into a pillar of salt, but I'm going to tell you something. There was some salt that got involved before Lot's wife turned into a pillar. His name was Abraham. And he got before God and he began to plead with God for for Lot and his family, and God said, sent those two angels down there, and they said, Lot, now you're gonna have to get out because we can't destroy this corruptness until you're gone. Oftentimes we say, I don't know why God hasn't. I've said it myself. I've said it. I've thought it. I've prayed it. Why hasn't God judged America? Because thank God there's still some salt in the land. There's still some salt in the land that hasn't lost its savor. There's still some people who believe that the one true and living God is Jehovah. And he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. And every soul needs to hear the message. And I'm so glad that there's still people who understand we're salt of the earth. We're salt of the earth. And there was a piece of salt looking to the God of heaven and saying, there's 50, we spare them. If there's just enough salt in there at 50 wide, if there's 50 wide salt, 40, 30, 20, 10, if there's that much salt in there, we'll just spare it. And God said, salt is so important, just for a little bit, I'll spare it. I'll spare it. So don't you think now, preacher, we're not much here at Fellowship Baptist Church. You'd be amazed what this ministry is doing. I started to say could do, but God's working in this ministry. Around the world, brethren. Around the world, people are hearing. But you know what? I want this ministry to go far beyond, and I know you do too. I want this ministry to reach the portals of heaven. I want God to look down and say, there's a group of people who understand something. They're the salt of the earth. Amen. They're the salt. Let's be salt. The worth. Don't forget your worth. Don't forget your worth. You may have heard this statement. You're not worth your salt. Came from the days of Rome. Look it up. Ain't come up with his hand out. Time for pay. You're not worth your salt. You're not worth your pay. You didn't do your job. That's where that statement came from. I challenge you to look it up. Jesus said, you are. You're worth something. You're worth me identifying you as the salt of the earth. So be that. Be that sanctifying property. Be that that preserves, right? Be that that fights back decay and corruption. Be that. Be that. When everyone else is doing wrong, you do right. See, there's a lot of folks concerned about being a good singer and a good preacher and a good teacher, a good this and a good that. I want a good Christian. Well, where did that go? I want to be a good Christian. I want to represent my Savior well. And I believe you do too. You are the salt of the earth, the worth. I'm begging you. Don't lose sight of what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in your church. Brethren, Fellowship Baptist Church needs you. You say, Fellowship, I don't do anything at Fellowship Baptist Church. Well, change that. Change that. Recognize your worth. Recognize your purpose. Recognize your usefulness. And let's labor together and get this thing done. God has something for us. Now, he does. You say, well, what could God do with me? Well, listen. God's done much more with much less than you and I. So don't you ever doubt what God can do in your life, and I won't doubt what he can do in mine. So the worth of salt. All right? The worth of salt. I can't overstate it. I can't overstate it. Number two, the work of salt. And I've talked about that a little bit. It's sanctifying. It's saving. It's saving. But it's seasoning. I want to spend just a little time talking to you about that, and I'll get to my last point, we'll close. Salt is a great seasoning. So I don't use salt as a seasoning. Well, there's already salt in a lot of things. You don't have to add it. It's already there. But salt is a great seasoning. Can I tell you that as a Christian, we ought to be a good seasoning. You know what seasoning does to food? It puts a little zest to it. Amen? Puts a little tang to it, a little taste, doesn't it? I don't need salt. Well, you go to the hospital for about a week and eat their food, and you'll say, where's the salt? Pass the salt, please. Amen? One of the things, when I've gone to see people as a pastor, I've made dozens, if not scores, maybe hundreds of hospital visits without fail. I mean, I've gone to people walked up and knocked on death's door. Amen? But you know what they said? Well, in the time that I was visiting with them, we talked a little bit about their situation, but they said, preacher, if you can break me out of here. I don't think I need one of these meals. What's wrong? They're cooking not bad. They don't have no salt in here, man. Preacher, they didn't let me have any salt. Some of you been in the hospital, you know what I'm talking about. Salt adds flavor. Can I tell you, as a Christian, we ought to add flavor. I just want to talk to you a little bit. Listen, I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm trying to encourage you. I want you to hear me now. We'll add some things to this old world we live in. This old world is flavorless, dark, dull, boring. Oh, I realize people out here in the world think that they involve all kinds of fun and got it going on, but they just don't know what they're missing in Christ. They're missing something that you and I have, and we need to let them know by our actions. I'm not talking about looking down on them. I'm not talking about judging or critiquing. I'm just talking about living Christian life and letting them see that Christ brings a joy in life that the world has nothing to compare to. Amen. Nothing. Amen. You ought not be ill-tempered all the time. Rude. What is Jesus saying when he said you're the salt of the earth? He said, don't walk around rude all the time. That's not adding flavor to anything. Amen. You're a Christian. Show some manners. Say thank you, please. Yeah, amen. Have a pleasant disposition. Somebody walk up to you. How you doing, sir? I'm doing all right. I'm a Christian. All right? What in the world are you talking about? I'm glad you told me. I'm going to stay as far away from that as I can get. You see, if we're not careful, we'll go through life that way. Mean-spirited. And think it's spiritual. That's not spiritual. You're the salt of the earth. You ought to have a good disposition, a pleasant disposition about you. I'm not talking about being a Joel Osteen to smile and show you've got 50,000 teeth. I'm saying that you ought to be real. Amen. You ought to be real. You ought to have something inside of you, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God that fills you with joy. Amen. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meek, temperance ought to so fill us that, brethren, when people see us, they hunger and thirst. I want some of that. Amen. Pass the salt, please. Amen. But now, if we have this attitude that we're rude to people and always criticizing and critiquing and putting down, no one wants anything to do with that. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. Add some taste to this old tasteless world. Amen. This world's tasteless. Dark. You listening? Dark. Me and my friend, my neighbor, we've been talking about human trafficking and child trafficking. It's real, brethren. Amen. It's real. We're going to have to do some things to flavor, to change. This world is perverted and twisted. And they're after your children and my children. You listening? After our young people. And they're out there and it's real. And so don't you think now when Jesus said you're the salt of the earth that he's talking about just being salt to some things that are kind of bad. Now, there's some wickedness out there. There's some things out there that need some flavor. They need the salt shaker. I mean some heavy salt put to it to bring some taste. He said you're the salt of the earth. The worth of the salt. The work of the salt. Could I encourage you? But I encourage you, listen, I know that salt irritates. I've done my research. You just do what's right, and if you doing right irritates people, God will take care of that. But now, it shouldn't be from our doing. It shouldn't be from our disposition and our bad attitude and the way we approach life. It should be our, listen, again, I go back to what he said, verse number 10 and 11. You live right. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, if men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for Christ's sake, well, that's one thing. But if because of our poor attitudes and because of the way that we approach life, then God have mercy on us and God help us to change the way we do things. I want to close with this. There is the worth, and I could say much more about that. I just want to, as I recap, I want to say this to you. Don't you ever let anyone tell you God doesn't have something for you. You say, now, preacher, I don't have a whole lot to offer. Well, you offer what you have, and God will make much of it. Amen. You offer what you have, and God will make much of it. Amen. Number two, not only is there worth, there's a work to do. You say, what could I do? Well, there's a lot that all of us can do, and there's a lot that needs to be done. This old world needs some salt. It needs some sanctifying. It needs some preserving. It needs some saving. It needs some seasoning. It needs some flavor. It needs some taste. It needs something that people can look to and say, I want to work toward that. I want what they have. Right? Salt will make you thirsty. It will. As a matter of fact, could you imagine? I read something. I'm not going to get into this. It was about to get over my head. I felt like I was drowning in this information. Could you imagine what all the bodies of water would be that we call seas if it didn't have salt? There are people that say that it would put out such disease that very few would be left. It may even be coming when the waters, when the meteors and the stars begin to fall from the sky and the waters become wormwood. It's very possible. The book of the Revelation. Bitter waters. But the salt that gives life and keeps back decay and corruption has made the sea a very pleasurable place to go. But take the salt away. That is pleasurable could become deadly. And one day the salt's going to be taken away, not just from the seas, but from this earth. We're leaving out of here, brethren.
Could you imagine? We already see what the world is. Could you imagine what this old world's going to be when God takes us all out? My heart aches. I want to close with a warning to you. You say, preacher, I'm not going to do what you've said. Well, listen, it's up to you. I'm just trying to help you be the most you can be for Christ's sake. I just want you to serve God with your life and realize the fullness that God has for you. I just want you to realize that you have a purpose. But Jesus said, you know what? Just like salt has a purpose, you have a purpose. And if you lose the purpose, it's not going to end well. Found out something about salt. I want you to go home today and find the expiration on your salt. Salt has no expiration. Find the expiration. No expiration. You're the salt of the earth. I may leave this earth, but I'm not going to expire. So it's a warning, preacher. Look at verse 13. He said, you're the salt of the earth. Then the rest of that verse is a warning. And I'm just going to put it this way. He said, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? How's it going to get it back? What good is that salt going to be if it's lost its usefulness? It's good for nothing to be cast out, he said, and trodden under the foot of men. I could say a whole lot. There's just so much here. But I want to say this. I want you to turn to two scriptures, and I'll close with this about being salt and not losing your savor. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll read these. I'll say a word, and then we'll close the service. Genesis 12. Look, if you would, there's something about Abraham we forget. Abraham was Lot. And we could talk a long time about Abraham and all that he brought to the table. No pun intended. But I want to show you something about Abraham that being salt will help you to be. Abraham was salt in his day. Because God said, I'm going to make you that. God wants you and I to be salt. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 12. If you look in verse number 2, God begins to do all the things that he's going to do for Abraham. He said, I'm going to make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. But now look at this last one. Sometimes we forget about this. And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Salt of the earth, God wants me to be a blessing. Abraham was a blessing to many. Still is blessing people to this day. Still is. Go out from here and be a blessing to somebody. Go find you somebody you can help. Go find you somebody you can season their life. Put a little salt on their food, spiritually speaking. God said, I'm going to make you a blessing. You know God wants to make you a blessing. You say, preacher, I want to be a blessing. No more than God wants you to be one. God wants us to be a blessing. You have a choice. You can be Abraham or you can be Lot. We're going to see them both in eternity. In heaven. But they're going to have a different story to tell. Abram finished well. Lot didn't. He lost his savor. That word means he lost his usefulness. He lost his tastefulness. He lost that zest. He lost the purpose of it. Salt has a purpose. God has a purpose for you. Don't lose it. Pay very close attention to me. This is a warning. I'm giving you a warning that Jesus gave. This is not from me. This is from the God of heaven. Don't lose your savor. Because God will cast you out to be trodden down under the foot of man. You mention Lot now, he is the laughing stock among those who know anything about the Bible. He's a laughing stock. No one took him serious. Get up! Judgment's coming! You speak as one that mocketh. Lost his family. Most of the gods, the false gods that the Israelites, Molech, listen, you search the false gods that the Israelites served, came from Lot's two daughters and his incest with them. The Ammonites and the Moabites. When salt loses its savor, it's a terrible thing.
I want you to stand with me. And I'm going to ask the pens to come, and just in case now, because I know how the old devil works. The Bible says that we're not ignorant of his devices. Somebody right now, whether you're listening by live stream or you're here, you're saying, well, preacher, I've lost my Savior. I've lost my usefulness, and I guess I'll end up like Lot. Well, that's not the only story in the Bible of someone who lost their Savior. Peter lost his. He sat by a fire, and they laughed with him, and listen, he cursed, he denied Jesus. Didn't he? Hey, listen, you're one of them. You're one of them. Follower of Christ. I am not. But that's not the way Peter's life ended. And it doesn't have to be the way yours ends either. You say, I've kind of fallen off, preacher. I've lost my zest, my seasoning. I'm beginning to lose a little bit of that savor. What can I do? Well, you know, a lot of times when you begin to lose your savor, you begin to go back to your old ways. That's what Peter did. I go fishing. But I'm glad that there was somebody that met him on the shores of Galilee that day and said, Peter, I just want you to know something. You still have a decision and a choice. I'll still use you. I've still got something for you. As a matter of fact, Peter, I want to ask you something. Do you love me? You love me, Peter? I love you a little. Isn't that the way the conversation went? Read it when you get home, John 21 today. Wasn't long ago people standing up. I believe he got that savor back. On the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 men got saved, plus women and children. Could you imagine hearing that message? So don't you let the devil tell you now, well, no, wait a minute. You've lost your usefulness. You've lost your purpose. There's nothing God can do with your life. What can God do with you? Well, if you'll just come in here and say, God, give me my savor back. Give me my purpose, my usefulness. I want to be used, Lord. I love you and I want to be used. God will restore you. And he'll use you. What good is restoration if it's not restoration to usefulness? Let's bow our heads together. Pants is going to begin to play.